The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's June 26, 2018. Yes, it's going to be a rather toasty week for us, but we really need that to get to the level that creates the summer thunderstorm season. So we'll put up with it. And hopefully by next week, this time, we'll be getting some of those thunder boomies. It is Buckmaster on a Tuesday afternoon, and we're coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our programs here that we've been doing since 2011 are archived, just about every program at buckmastershow.com. 790-2040 is our live line number. If you would like to join in the conversation, and we begin with Dr. George Hammond. Dr. Hammond, the Director of Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona Eller School of Management. Dr. Hammond, how are you?
I'm great. Great. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. We're at the mid-year point, closing out the fiscal year. What is your overall view? How are we doing when it comes to creating jobs in this community?
Well, overall, job growth in Tucson is really pretty strong. We added roughly 5,400 jobs last year for 1.5% growth. That was our fastest growth rate since 2012, and that was very close to the national rate of growth of 1.6%. A little bit slower than what we were seeing in Phoenix and Tucson, but still a very solid performance for Tucson last year in terms of job growth.
And when you look at kind of, we had some minimal gains, Dr. Hammond, I would say kind of that period really right after you came to Tucson, right, 2011, that period there up until 2015 was really kind of slow, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. In 2012, Tucson's job growth was actually very close to the national average. But once we got into 2013, 14, and 15, growth essentially disappeared. And what drove that, I think, in large part was a big decline in federal spending, especially federal procurement spending, which are just federal government purchases of goods and services from the private sector. Due to the federal sequester and other budget cuts in 2012, we saw a giant drop, about a 33% drop in federal procurement spending in Arizona. And that had a big impact on Tucson because federal government activity is a much bigger share of the local economy than it is for the state or the nation.
How did we do in the first quarter of this year, this calendar year, 2018, as far as job creation?
Well, we're doing fairly well. That's preliminary data, and we know from the experience of the past couple of years that preliminary job data can get revised pretty significantly for Tucson. But the latest data shows that we're carrying some momentum into 2018. We're generating job gains in construction, education, healthcare, overall government activity, as well as manufacturing. And it's really good to see that manufacturing job growth, including in aerospace, because those are where some of the highest paying jobs are.
We hear the real estate industry is doing very well right now. And how does that translate to the construction jobs?
Absolutely. Overall house prices in Tucson are rising at a much faster pace than we're seeing nationally. Housing permit activity, at least according to the census data, was really vigorous last year. We had our highest level of permit activity in a decade last year.
I think it was close to what? Almost 4,500 permits. That's a lot.
Exactly.
Compared to what it has been, certainly.
Yeah, and that was driven by a big surge in multifamily activity, but single family activity was up as well. So overall, we're doing well.
And the housing prices are doing well.
That's right. Housing prices in Tucson were up almost 8% over the year in the first quarter. That was much faster than nationally, which was in the neighborhood of 6 to 7%. We are seeing those house prices locally rise faster than the overall rate of inflation and faster than income. So we are seeing local housing affordability gradually drift down. It's still much better than it was during the boom years, but it has fallen from the really affordable days of, say, 2011 or so.
But it is still attractive when you compare housing affordability to some of the peer Western metropolitan areas?
Right. When we look at peer Western metros like San Diego, Phoenix, Portland, Denver, Austin, Texas, Tucson's housing affordability is still much better.
When we look at our very, very strong trading partner to the south, Mexico, how has that been doing over the last year or so, our merchandise exports to our friends in Mexico?
Right. Mexico is Arizona's most important export destination. We send about 36% of our exports to Mexico, about 10% go to Canada. So that NAFTA area is really a critical trade region for Arizona. But we've seen our exports both to Mexico and Canada fall off over the past couple of years. Part of that was driven by a major appreciation of the U.S. dollar versus the peso and the Canadian dollar. But we are seeing some signs of stabilizing in our exports to the NAFTA area, and we're hopeful that that will continue and we will start to see some growth over the next year or two.
So it is very important to keep an eye on what is going on with Washington toward Ottawa and to Mexico City with NAFTA.
Absolutely. Yeah. The trade environment, at least the rhetoric around trade and the actual trade policies have really turned negative, and there is the potential for that to adversely affect Arizona.
Let's look into your crystal ball for the upcoming year, the upcoming fiscal year. What do you look at for the job gains?
Overall, I think Arizona is going to carry the momentum from last year into 2018 and 2019, assuming the U.S. avoids recession, as I think it will. We have seen some fairly significant fiscal stimulus in the form of personal and corporate income tax cuts. There's a pretty significant increase in federal government spending that's underway, and that will really put a solid foundation underneath Tucson's economic growth. So I think we'll see 1%, 1.5% job growth this year, 1.6% next year.
Are you factoring in things like that huge Amazon warehouse project that will be coming online?
Sure, that will help, absolutely.
What about our increase in population? For years, Arizona has been one of the fastest growing states, people moving to Arizona. Has that slowed a bit?
It has slowed. Population growth in Arizona is running at a pace that's roughly half what we were seeing during the 30 years before the Great Recession, roughly the 77 to 2007 period. But in any case, Arizona is still growing much faster than the national average. Tucson is adding new residents each year as well, and we're growing at about the U.S. average. So Tucson's really holding its own these days.
And as far as the wages in our community, how would you characterize? We have been thought of, Dr. Hammond, for years as kind of a low-wage area. Is that changing a little bit?
Well, that's been very slow to turn around. Wage growth has been much slower than expected for most of this recovery, and that's true for the nation, for Arizona, Phoenix, and for Tucson. Particularly over the past couple of years, as labor markets have really tightened and labor force participation rates for the working age population have begun to rise again, we're really thinking that we should be seeing wage growth accelerate, but it's been slow to come, even with the increase in the state's minimum wage last year. At least the preliminary data suggests still very slow wage growth. So that's something that we're looking at hard. And one explanation there may be this demographic transition with the baby boomers, relatively high-paid baby boomers retiring and being replaced by lower-paid millennials.
All right, let's see if we can work a quick question in. Matthew, I've only got about 1 minute, so please, quickly.
Yeah, very quickly, Dr. Hammond. My two concerns are water affecting the state of Arizona, both for agricultural and for even for housing in the future with the drought. The second question is, what do you think about the $20 trillion debt that we're now approaching as given the recent tax cut. Thank you very much. Bye.
Mm-hmm. First of all, drought.
Yes, the water is a concern. That can be a constraint to growth. It can really change the types of growth that we have and the types of growth that we can accommodate. So there's a lot of great water researchers at the U of A. I'm sure you've talked to them. Mm-hmm. And they can give you more of a feel for what's coming down the road there. In terms of the large federal deficit, my feeling is that this was not a particularly good time to have big tax cuts or big federal fiscal stimulus. You know, the economy is recovering. It's already growing rapidly. Labor markets are tightening. When you add a pretty significant fiscal stimulus to that at this time, that can generate an acceleration in inflation, which puts the Federal Reserve, our nation's monetary authority, in an awkward position with raising interest rates and perhaps creating a recession.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hammond. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Dr. George Hammond is the Director of Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Want to tell our listeners about Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. What a great place to stop by right now for your lunch, because that sandwich will have beautifully baked bread for you that came out of the oven just a few hours ago. Go to my website. You'll learn more about Mona's Danish Bakery. There's a link there on the website, and of course, a link to all of our partners. Again, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Be right back with Shelley Fishman. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for the quarterly Tucson Air Service update. Also, Arizona Corporation Commission candidate Rodney Glassman. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. Also, anywhere in the world live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
You say we consult with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, right now. And Shelley is on our live line. He's at an investor group meeting up in Phoenix. Shelley, how are you, sir?
I'm well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. You couldn't have picked a day that would probably be hotter than in Phoenix.
It is hot, even out here in the shade.
I bet.
Listening to Dr. Hammond, and yeah. I must say, I am in violent agreement with everything you said.
How are we doing? We were gaining a little bit of the yesterday's losses.
Yeah, we've come back about 40-45% of yesterday's losses. Down, you know, over the past couple of weeks, we're down probably about 3%. We're well under where we started the year and certainly well under the highs that we hit at the end of January.
Is this so-called trade war perhaps paving the way for what might be called a full-blown recession?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. I think that when it comes to markets, you have uncertainty and volatility, and those things are always upsetting for people who trade in stocks and bonds. The other thing, and this gets a little bit down into the weeds, but there are some technical indicators that are sending off some alarm signals to people who watch those kind of technical indicators. And the one that is probably the one you'll see most written about and talked about in the press is the bond yield curve, which is kind of just a measure of what's the difference in interest rate return. If I buy an overnight treasury or a very short-term treasury versus invest in a 10-year treasury. And right now, the difference, in other words, what I get paid to take a 10-year bet rather than a two-week bet, is only 36 basis points. That's a third of a percentage point reward for me for buying a 10-year bond versus a very short-term bond. Now, that's not a lot of reward for taking all of that essentially inflation risk, because it says that if inflation climbs and I'm holding a 10-year bond, I could essentially be below water very, very easily. And my reward for that is only a third of a point. Now, the thing that's critical to understand here is that when that yield curve gets this low, or actually inverts and goes negative. In other words, it's actually better for me in terms of interest rates to buy the shorter term treasury, then that signals the onset of a recession. Now, it doesn't signal that onset instantly, but in 9 of the past 11 recessions, that curve going negative indicated that a recession was imminent. And so that's got the market, certainly the bond market, spooked, but also it's got a lot of economists wondering what's going on, because the economy is showing tremendous signs of success and stability, and you know, we might see a second quarter GDP number that, you know, I've heard numbers as high as 5%. Probably we're going to be in the 3.5% to 4%, but that doesn't appear to be recessionary, and yet some of the indicators are showing flatness and even some negativity. In fact, if you take a look at the stock market itself, which is viewed as a leading indicator of the economy, we've been flat to negative now for 4 months.
We are in correction territory as of today?
We are in correction territory from the peak, yes. And And that's a little bit disturbing, but you know, you don't hear much about it because, you know, we kind of got over it and started climbing again, and now we're back down. So I wouldn't get hung up on that terminology as much as what has been happening now for 4 or 5 months, and do we see any way out of it, or are the headwinds, the uncertainties that are being, you know, thrown in the path of continued economic progress, are those uncertainties going to outweigh optimism over, say, you know, the stimulus that got poured into the economy through the tax cut? Now, that's a one-time stimulus. We're not going to see a long-term effect from it, but nevertheless, there it is. And so, you know, we should still come out of this year with a positive result. The question I think that people are asking, Bill, is are we on a sustainable course here, both in terms of markets and the economy, or is there just too much uncertainty being put in the way of the economy by the vast changes that this administration wants to experiment with?
Elections have consequences. What is the territory that would qualify as a recession? I understand correction is a 10% from off the peak. What would a recession be?
Normally, you would look at 2 to 3 quarters of negative growth.
Okay. So
and we're not anywhere near that.
Oh, that was my question. Yeah. So right. back to this trade war. To me and a lot of other people, and I have no economic background, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a simplistic way of looking at it, which says that if the countries you're trading with are selling more to you than you're buying from them, then they're taking your dollars out of circulation. You can't reinvest them, and that makes for an imbalance. Now, that's a simplistic way of looking at it. That apparently is the way Trump is explaining it when he articulates why those trade imbalances are bad. However, that is, you know, for every complex question, there's a simple answer, and it's wrong. So the question you have to ask is, well, what do these countries do with that imbalance? Now they've got all these extra dollars. So they don't stack them up, you know, in a vault somewhere. Guess what they do? They come back and invest those dollars in the U.S. typically by buying treasury bonds.
Huh.
Which means they now have a stake in our success.
Uh-huh.
So this is a far more complex question than just whether there's a trade imbalance or not. The other thing is, if you just look at it industry by industry, it's also misleading. So if I take a look at, well, you know, I've got a 10% tariff to overcome in automobiles where I can only, you know, tax your stuff 2.5%, that's bad. Well, except you don't do trade deals based upon just one product or one product silo. You do it across the board. You do it based upon what the demands for products are. So I might have a disadvantage in automobiles, but an advantage in soybeans. Hmm. And so when negotiators negotiate these deals, they're looked at in a more macro sense. And the way the administration is articulating their reason for imposing these essentially taxes, but they're tariff barriers, is by looking at it silo by silo. And that's just not the way to do it. Now, again, elections have consequences. The Trump candidacy was very clear about wanting to correct these imbalances, and it's doing it. I mean, you and I have talked about the fact that we've embarked on an economic experiment in supply side radical Republican thinking when it comes to the economy. This is not typical of Republican thinking, which is much more consistent with free trade and multilateral trade agreements. So this is something completely new. We're experimenting with it. We'll see where it goes.
All right, Shelley Fishman, have a cool, if possible, crank the air up and have a safe drive back to Tucson.
Thank you, Bill. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks very much. Shelley Fishman with us.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Silver City and Grant County makes a great weekend getaway, or for longer. It's just 3 hours from Tucson, and here's the good news, 15 degrees cooler in an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete list of, really, there's several dozen great places to stay in Silver City and a like number of recreation opportunities, including visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument in the Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico area. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Some exciting news from Green Things. Zocalo at 2924 East Broadway, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway is moving soon to their new location on 13 acres over where Green Things is located on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And they have all that great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. It's available for you right now at a pre-moving sale. So check it out, Zocalo, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Joined now by Congressional District Number 2 Republican candidate Leah Marquez-Peterson with me in studio. Leah, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Very good.
You're not traveling the world right now. You're
no,
here.
No, 11 days in the Bahamas, still trying
oh,
to recover.
Oh, gosh. Jealous.
Yeah. How are you doing? How's this campaign going?
Good. You know, it's going really well. As you know, I've never run for office, so this has been very interesting. I've been at the Hispanic Chamber for more than 9 years and been
it's
a business
been
owner
years?
Here. Yes, 9 years. And so launching the campaign and getting out and talking to folks throughout the community, not just here in Tucson, but in Sierra Vista, Sahuarita, Green Valley, all over the place. It's been really encouraging. I've received such positive feedback and feeling really good about it.
And you're in this four-way primary. So what separates you from your opponents in the primary? So in order for you to become a congressperson, first you've got to win the primary.
Right, which is August 28th.
Yeah.
Mail-in ballots go out on the 1st. So
that's like a few weeks away.
I know. It's like, I think we were counting, 64 days or 63 days. So I've lived in this district more than 40 years. I grew up here in Tucson, attending TUSD schools, the University of Arizona, and so on, and then been a business owner here. I think I'm the only pro-business, pro-growth candidate in this race, period, on both sides of the equation. I've served in many boards in different capacities as in community groups and just really engage in the community and excited to represent the constituents throughout the district.
What about immigration?
Well, immigration is an issue that I've touched on the entire time I've been in the Hispanic Chamber, as you can imagine, and as a business owner here. So I think we have a lot of laws on the books that need to be enforced. It's a hot, very politically divisive issue, as you know, in the country and really throughout the region. So I think we need to enforce what we have in the books, and we need immigration reform. A lot of the challenges and I think the politically divisive narrative going on right now is because of the ambiguity around immigration. So it's something our nation needs to tackle.
And this whole thing of separating kids from their parents.
Right. Been horrible to see the videos and the
painful to
audio
watch
and so on and social
hear
media.
That, hear the stuff.
Yeah, I'm a mom. I mean, I've got two children I'm raising right here in Tucson. And so not something, of course, I support. And I'm glad that we've taken action and we've got to work through, I guess, how to reunify a lot of those families. But that's not the solution. And we needed immediate action.
I think I've interviewed all of your opponents at one point, and I think at least one is saying send all the Dreamers back to Mexico.
So not a position I support, right? I mean, not. I think what we need in Congress, I mean, I guess to rise above that question, is people who are looking for solutions to solve problems. I've built a reputation in this community for doing so, working with all different types of folks in my role at the Hispanic Chamber. Related to Dreamers, they've come here through no fault of their own. I support a legal solution for Dreamers. In fact, a lot of the members of our chamber employ Dreamers, which is legal, lawful. I mean, they have the right to work here in the United States at this point, and that's something that I think we also need to address.
We had a caller who wants to know if you have any comment on the Mexico election, Mexico election is coming up, I believe, July 1st.
It is. And, you know, as a Hispanic Chamber CEO, we certainly interact with a lot of different Mexican businesses that are looking to invest or Mexican tourists. It's something we've talked quite a bit about. Seems likely that a very controversial figure will be winning
very
the presidential election in Mexico. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty in the business community in Mexico and in the U.S., those that invest in Mexico. So we're watching it very closely and also interested in many of the local races. We've built long-term relationships over time and need to see where people land after the elections.
So this gentleman who is the front runner,
by AMLO his nickname.
But he's apparently the leader in the polls. He's been called kind of the un-Trump. He's kind of the opposite of Donald Trump politically.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes.
Left-leaning,
yes.
And but very anti-establishment.
Uh-huh.
Some similarity there with President Trump.
Uh-huh.
But there's, I think, just a lot of uncertainty about where he may, what his priorities are in the mm-hmm. country and how that'll impact trade, which is so vitally important to Arizona. I think I've been on your show before talking about mm-hmm. the more than 110,000 jobs in Arizona that depend on trade and have been a big advocate for renegotiating NAFTA. So I do still want to see that continue and hope to be in Congress to help move that forward.
And we just had Dr. George Hammond on at the beginning of the program. Dr. Hammond's the head of the U of A. He's kind of the business forecaster. Yeah. And he was just talking about Mexico. He said that Arizona merchandise exports to Mexico have been declining, falling by an additional 8.6%. And Mexico is really important to Arizona.
It is. And I heard Dr. Hammond speak just recently mm-hmm. at the Eller Economic Forecast Breakfast, which is so important, I think, to our region to have that data. Yes, the exports are declining. We've had peso devaluation mm-hmm. issue for quite a long time that impacts our malls and our retail here on this side of the border. So I'm very thankful that he's got this incredible website, which I'm sure he promoted at the time, that has great data that we can read and look at.
So this district, CD2, is really kind of a moderate district. Are you the moderate candidate in this?
That's a good question. Race? It's a very split district. So it's 40% Democrat, 40% Republican, 20% Independent. I have been a Republican since I was 18.
Really?
Yes. And what's interesting is when I, growing up, I grew up in a very mixed, I guess you'd call it, household of Democrats, mm-hmm. Republicans, Independents. Mm-hmm. Probably why the district feels so comfortable to me.
can you work with folks of all political parties?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you've seen in my role at the Hispanic Chamber, which is a nonpartisan organization, but we have focused on results. And who I have represented have been small business owners predominantly. 97% of the businesses in Arizona are small business. To me, that's really the grease that makes the wheels work in our economy here in southern Arizona. And I want to continue prioritizing that. There are very few business people in Congress, right? I think we need to send, hopefully, folks like me or myself into Congress to be able to work on some of these key issues we're facing as a country and how that specifically applies to southern Arizona.
It's an interesting district that you have the urban area of Tucson, that you have the Cochise County, more of the rural area. So in some ways, these people have different priorities, to say the least.
It's very diverse from that perspective. I think in the United States, we have a real split between urban and rural. Mm-hmm. You hear quite a bit about, like even in the state of Arizona, fastest growing state in the country, or one of the fastest, Maricopa County, where Phoenix is, one of the fastest growing counties. Yet we haven't recovered at quite that pace in Pima County, and much less if you're in Douglas or Wilcox or even Sierra Vista. So I think having an awareness of that is important in representing them in Congress. What's interesting, our Hispanic Chamber in 2014 launched affiliated chambers. So we actually have a Sierra Vista Hispanic Chamber, a Douglas Hispanic Chamber, and an Nogales Hispanic Chamber.
Really? Are they affiliated with your
organization?
They are,
right. So I'm the president of all four. We have directors in each and staff, and we hold nonstop events. Mm-hmm. So it's really helped me get a feel and kind of the pulse of what's happening in each of those communities, in addition to Tucson.
So this is your first political run?
It is.
Yeah. Well, what are some of your impressions of how this is, what's this meant to your life?
It's interesting. I'd watched enough candidates in my time, as I'm sure you have in your media world.
30 years here in town. Yeah. I've seen a few of them.
You've seen them all. I've also, interesting, prior to running, I was one of those in the community that would host candidate forums, or would do surveys. So I'd seen a lot of different structures. To me, putting the campaign together was much like launching a business. Mm-hmm. Had to be organized, had to have the right team in place. And I've done that. I've worked to raise resources so that I could hire folks and others to help me as we got our message out and we'll get into our advertising and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But it's been very interesting. What's been most important to me, though, and having watched other candidates in the past, is that I'm really listening and able to represent people from, as you mentioned, the diversity mm-hmm. of the district, urban, rural, Green Valley, Sierra Vista, Tucson, Oro Valley, wherever it may be. This district is quite large. And for those listening, it is kind of Campbell East, all mm-hmm. the foothills, Green Valley, Sahuarita, and then all of Cochise County to the border.
Really goes all the way over to almost to the New Mexico border.
Yeah, and the Mexico border. So it's all the way down to that area. So think of just the different voices you know, whether it's ranchers or mining or small business, just the families that are impacted. So I am trying to be everywhere at once. That's what I have learned as a candidate.
We're speaking with Leah Marquez Peterson, CD2 Republican candidate. What about Veterans Affairs? To me, that's a huge issue.
Yeah, and you know, I talk quite a bit about that when I'm out doing kind of meet and greets and meeting folks. The Air Force Base and the Army Post have more than a $5 billion economic impact in our region.
Huge.
That combined with the veterans that have settled here, we have so many who have chosen Southern Arizona as their place mm-hmm. to live, has mm-hmm. been wonderful. We need to do all we can to support them. Mm-hmm. Veterans Services, the VA, constituent services. I understand that, you know, Congresswoman McSally has people dedicated to that in her office, and that's something I plan to continue. She serves on the Armed Forces Committee. And that's also something that I will aspire to participate on. So
if
that
a veteran
also,
needs an answer, you want to serve them.
Right. They can call the office and continue to represent them and find out, you know, any challenges they might be facing and so on. But I think vitally important for our region.
All right. Leah Marquez Peterson, thank you very much for stopping by. What about your website?
Yeah. The campaign website is simply voteforleah.com. Voteforlea.com. And we're looking for volunteers and others to get engaged, so we'd love to have people check us out online.
All right. Early ballots go out when?
August 1st.
Okay. Leah, good to see you. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming by. Our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report is coming next. Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson will be helping us out. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport, and when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights, and with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's our arts report from Tucson Fox Theater. They do such a great job with shows. 24, really, I was almost going to say 24-7, but certainly year-round stuff going on at the Fox. Start off the red, white, and blue celebrations early by seeing Lee Greenwood in concert on July 3rd, known for songs such as It Turns Me Inside Out, and of course, that icon of country music, God Bless the USA. What a great song. He's released more than 30 albums and can... Let's see, what is 7 number one hits? Wow. Also in July, the Fox presents the classic Godzilla films from the early years. Each classic was specifically selected by the Hansen Film Institute for its enduring popularity. See the 1954 Godzilla, July 7th. 1962, it was King Kong versus Godzilla. That one's on July the 15th. And then Mothra on July 22nd. So there's a lot of hot shows at the cool Fox Theater this summer. To view the full schedule and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Let's go now to the live line. Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. And Dan's probably anticipating my first question, which is he a fan of the Godzilla movies?
I love Godzilla movies. Like, I'm super into them. Like, used to be a TV station here when I was a kid, Channel 40, and they used to show Godzilla movies on Saturday. It was very exciting.
My
favorite is Varan, the giant flying squirrel monster, but I mean, I understand why they're not showing them. It's a minor character in the Godzilla universe, but the Mothra, solid, really great stuff.
Very nice that Lee Greenwood, I mean, you couldn't ask for a more kind of patriotic show on 4th of July Eve.
Yeah, so many things going on, and Lee Greenwood, you know, should be a good crowd. He's got a ton of songs, but probably ones people don't, you know, that may not come immediately to mind, but then there's always like, oh, yeah, I know that one. He's one of those artists like that. If you're a fan of country music, he's got secret hits.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. All right, what's going on?
Well, I always like to try to tell people when the free things are happening, because I understand, you know, summertime, the kids want to do stuff, trying to figure out how to pay for everything. July 5th, free first Thursday, it's the opening night of the Arizona Biennial at the Tucson Museum of Art and Historic Block from 5 to 8 p.m. Be among the first to see the Arizona Biennial, 85 works by 75 Arizona-based artists, also a tribute to James G. Davis. There'll be music. The Surf Broads, which is a thing that is happening, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., and then ongoing performances by artists in with the Arizona Biennial. There'll be a cash bar, beer, wine, soft drinks. Should be a pretty good time. Mark the calendar. Absolutely free first Thursday at the Tucson Museum of Art.
Well, that whole biennial thing, I remember when it really got going many, many years ago, and there were nowhere near 85 entries, and of course, Julie Sassy, the longtime curator at Tucson Museum of Art, she was on the show about a month ago talking about the tremendous interest in the biennial this year.
It's a great story, too, right? I mean, sort of a reflection of what's new and interesting in Arizona art, and you can see it all in one place and for free. I mean, if you don't see it for free, you should check out the biennial anyway. Just make your plans.
And as they say, it's cool inside the museum.
It's a well-chilled environment. It's actually sometimes can be a little frosty, which is nice.
What else is going on in our arts report?
You know, there's been a bunch of shows by the Scoundrel and Scamp Theater lately. They're at 738 North 5th Avenue. They have a new show by the playwright Brian Friel, set in 1967 Ireland. It's called Lovers Part One. Go support. You know, I try to make sure you get the theater in there as well. But it's a funny, it's wistful. You know, like about two teenagers studying for their exams, unplanned pregnancy. There's drama. All these things happen. But it's a fun show. You can learn more about it at scoundrelandscamp.org, or try to Google it. It's fine. You'll figure it out.
All right.
Also, here's like try to mix it up a little bit. Did you know the Pima County Library has a writer in residence?
Yes, I do.
Logan Phillips, he's great. Wow. A DJ and artist and writer. You can set an appointment with Logan Phillips. Let's say you're working on a novel or talking about self-expression or work on poetry. He is at the Valencia Library Wednesday afternoons from May 30th to August 15th. Helps make an appointment. Students call the branch at 594-5390, but you can have a half-hour one-on-one consultant with a published poet, performer, DJ, and educator. A heck of a deal.
That is a free session.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You have to make an appointment.
Wow.
And that's the Valencia Library. That's tomorrow and every Wednesday. I think one of the real most fun things you can do in the summer in Tucson is Cinema La Placida. No longer at La Placida because there's a giant hole where they used to show the films. It's now at the Tucson Museum of Art and Historic Block. Thursday, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., the classic Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Dorothy L'Amour vehicle, Road to Morocco from 1942.
That's a great movie.
I know, a lot of fun. It's castaways on a desert shore, beautiful Arabian Nights. Mm-hmm. Only $3, but that includes the popcorn. Also, cash bar, and each week, new drink specials. If you're marking your calendar ahead of time, Thursday, July 5th, the next film in the series is Jaws. So, yeah, plenty of really great things showing at La Placida, or what was Cinema La Placida, but at the Tucson Museum of Art.
You know, a lot of people say, well, downtown, what's been driving, and of course, is the new restaurants. And I think, who was it that was on? I think it was Janos was on the show about 6 weeks ago saying there were like now 85 restaurants just in downtown.
Feels about right.
Yeah,
but some scale or another, yeah.
Where I'm going with this is there's also a lot of new galleries that are popping up as well downtown.
For sure. I mean, if you love art, downtown is really sort of the epicenter. There's obviously things going on all over town. But, I mean, you know, from my wife and I were at Anello, the pizza place, the other day, and we were walking by. And there was, you know, like three or four galleries open right in that 6th and 6th area. Uh-huh. And obviously, like, the great shows that happened at Atherton. And art is still really a big part of the downtown Tucson story. And it's one that we talk about all the time. It's like, hey, listen, there's street art, there's galleries, there's, you know, what they're doing at TMA is incredible, what they're doing at MoCA. It's really distinctly a part of the growth story, I think.
And, of course, one of your challenges at Visit Tucson, Dan Gibson, is the summer. It isn't as much of a challenge as when I arrived in town 30 years ago when this town practically closed up. I mean, there's tourism in the summer is happening.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, it's an easy mark with the people in Phoenix because it's cooler here than there.
Yeah.
But I think there's definitely markets that don't have the same you know, sort of knee-jerk, like, that sounds terrible reaction. Los Angeles is one, even San Francisco, Texas, places like that. We still do really well in the summer. We just sort of refocus our energies. But, you know, it cools down at night. There's still so much to do. And the value proposition is obviously a big thing if you're looking to come to Miraval during the year. It's hard to beat the prices there at summer, or the resorts, things like that. And just that Tucson has really expanded the number of things to do and the number of events. Successful Tucson 23 Festival. There's, you know, HoCo Fest coming up. There's so much more to do, which is helpful.
All right. I could take one quickie if you've
got
one.
Lost Cinema, obviously, classically has an incredible number of films. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, July 10th at 7:30 p.m. They have a special showing of The Gospel According to Andre. Andre Leontali is a fashion icon. He's worked at Women's Wear Daily, W, and Vogue, and takes on, you know, influences of his childhood and the African American church. He's really one of the most unique figures of 20th century fashion. from growing up in the Jim Crow South. There's a great documentary about him that's showing at the Loft on July 10th. If you're interested in fashion at all, there's, you know, Anna Wintour, Marc Jacobs, Tom Ford are all interviewed in it. It's one of those great films, those one-off things that comes to the Loft, and you're like, oh, why didn't I go see that when it was there? So, you know, this is my note. If you care about fashion, go see The Gospel According to Anya.
And again, it's cool inside.
Oh, luscious temperature right. inside the Loft.
Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.
Pleasure's mine.
This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, start off the red, white, and blue celebrations early by seeing Lee Greenwood in concert on July 3rd, known for songs such as It Turns Me Inside Out and God Bless the USA. This icon of country music has released more than 30 albums and can boast 7 number one hits. Also, mark your calendars and plan to attend the Fox's free second Saturday concert, August 11. The Fox returns from their annual 2-week summer hiatus with a free performance of Just One Look, a tribute to Linda Ronstadt. The show features the tributaries and Linda's niece, Mindy Ronstadt, performing hits like That'll Be the Day, When Will I Be Loved, and of course, Blue Bayou. So, a lot of hot shows at the cool Fox this summer. Check out the full schedule. Visit foxtucson.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Mic check with Mike Shaw this afternoon, 4 to 6, and Ray Allen ably assisting. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, me, Bill Buckmaster, with our quarterly Tucson Air Service Report. Our friends from TIA, known as TUS, Tucson International Airport. Have a great afternoon and evening.